you.
Good morning.
Psalm 36, 5 through 10. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O, continue your steadfast love to those you know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. God bless.
Thank you, Andy, for the reading. Before we receive God's message today, I invite you to pray with me as we ask him to bless us with his word. Let us pray together. Merciful God, thank you indeed for your love. Thank you that you are present with us this very moment through your Holy Spirit. And thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice of love. God, we thank you for your word, and we have come to listen to what you want to say to us and teach us this morning. And so I pray that for this next few minutes, we will give all of our attention to you and allow your Spirit to open our hearts and our minds. Speak to us now. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Tomorrow, of course, is... You're going to be in trouble tomorrow, Vic. Of course, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, right? And people everywhere will be expressing their love for one another. So today I want to talk about love, but I don't want to talk about our love. I want to talk about God's love. Now, back in high school, many, many years ago, of course, I had German as a subject. And at the time, I had no idea, absolutely no idea that God would one day use my ability to understand and speak some German. And the first church I served was looking for someone who could do services in both English and German. And that's how I got my first call. So that's how desperate, you know, they were. I mean, they were looking for someone very, very specific. So I served at Trinity Reformed Church in Ridgewood for more than 12 years. In any case, German is an interesting language because it has a thing for compound words. For instance, the word Handschuh, literally hand shoe, meaning glove. And Kühlschrank, literally meaning cool cupboard, but meaning refrigerator. Mark Twain once said, some German words are so long they have perspective. And according to Guinness, and I put this word up on the screen for those people online, Rechtsschutzversicherung Gesellschaften is the longest German word in everyday use. And it means insurance companies providing legal protection. Now, of course, English has its compound words as well. You know, think about toothbrush, football, Super Bowl, blackboard, passport, schoolhouse, grandmother. So those are just a few, but what do you think is the longest word in English? By the way, it's not supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, okay? Because that's a made-up word. It's not a real word. It's what grammarians call a nonsense word. So the longest word in the English dictionary is this, and again, I put it up for those online, and maybe you can try and pronounce it, because I've looked at this word so many times, and I still struggle to pronounce it. But in any case, the longest English word is pneumono-ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. All right, so try that one. It's a word that refers to lung disease that you get when you inhale very fine silica particles, specifically from a volcano. I don't think it's a compound word, but medically it's the same as silicosis, and I'd rather say silicosis, to be honest. But there's another English compound word, and it's loving kindness. Loving kindness. And we find it here in Psalm 36 in many of the translations, but the New Revised Standard Version, which we just read from and have in our pews, uses the word steadfast love instead. Steadfast love. And it appears in verses 5, 7, and 10 in today's reading. In Hebrew, it's the word chesed. Chesed. And it appears three times in the text, like I mentioned. So it's clearly the theme of today's reading, and that means we need to check it out a little more carefully. So maybe you're thinking, you know, isn't the phrase steadfast love a redundancy? I mean, isn't love by definition steadfast? What kind of love is it if it's not constant and steadfast? Now, if this is what you think, I think you're right. True love is steadfast, but maybe only God is able to love perfectly. Because you see, human love often falters. And when love fails to persevere or to be steadfast, it has failed. And it's no longer love, but maybe it's sentimentality, or it's no longer love, maybe it's lust or infatuation or affection or something masquerading as love. And it's often the case when it comes to human love. But it's not true of divine love. It's not so when it comes to God's love. So when we refer to God's love, steadfast love is sort of redundant. Because if God loves us, it most certainly will be steadfast. It's not going to change. And it will be for love's sake only. God does not love you for your smile or for your looks or for your cute personality, or for anything that pertains to your nature or what you've done, you know, to earn it. God loves you because love is what God's all about. God is love, and love comes from God, and His love is steadfast love. And so what does that look like? What is steadfast love? Let's talk about that and see what the psalmist says about it. And so the first thing we see is that it is a love that is so incredible that it's difficult to describe it. The psalmist really struggles to explain how fabulous this chesed is, or what, in fact, it is. And so he says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep." It's like trying to explain what orange juice tastes like. Can someone explain to me what orange juice tastes like? Oranges. It tastes like what? Like orange juice, right? I mean, how do you adequately explain to someone how much you love them? How do you explain to your spouse how much their love for you means? It's not easy. You will say to your kids, well, I love you to the sky. Or I love you to the moon and back, right? So maybe you will say to your spouse, you are my universe. Or my night has become a sunny day because of you. Or you make my reality better than my dreams. By the way, if you want to use any of those in your Valentine's cards tomorrow, that's okay. Okay, I'm not going to charge you anything for those, okay? But those are some ways, you know, in which we describe our love for one another. Listen to how the message paraphrases verses 5 and 6. It says it like this: God's love is meteoric, His loyalty astronomic, His purpose titanic, His verdicts oceanic. Yet in His largeness, nothing gets lost, not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. The point is that loving kindness or His steadfast love is unique in how wide and how long and how deep and how high it is. And what's even more important is that we are the recipients of God's love. That is God's love for us. A love that is so incredible that it's really beyond description. And so when you read it, I mean, just let it sink in, okay? And if you let it sink in fully, you will indeed feel valued and important and loved. Because God's steadfast love is so incredible that it's difficult to describe. Here's the second thought about God's steadfast love. It is precious. It is very, very precious, valuable, costly, prized, exquisite, priceless. Verses 5 and 6 tell us that God's love is vast and beyond anything we can comprehend as human beings. And that makes it precious. Verse 7 says, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. How exquisite it is, he says. Your love, O God, is a treasure. Your unfailing love is precious. And so this means at least three things to me. I mean, first of all, it's of great value. God's love is extremely valuable. Sometimes when we make a purchase, you know, we say, hey, you know, I got a great deal. I got a great deal on this Ford Bronco that I'm going to wait for 8 months. But I got a great deal. Or I got a great deal on this house that I just bought. Or I was able to secure an object or a service for far below market value. So I got a great deal on the car. I got a great deal on the house. Great deal on remodeling the kitchen or whatever. And so listen to me. God's precious love, His loving kindness, His steadfast love is a great, great value. His unfailing love is a great deal. It's a big deal. As a matter of fact, it comes for free. There's nothing you did or can do to earn or merit God's steadfast love. God loves us as we are, just as we are. He will never love you more than He loves you right now. He will never love you less than he loves you this moment. I mean, what a great deal. God's love has great value. And secondly, because it's so valuable, it should not be wasted. I mean, when we get a great deal, we kind of like take care of it, you know? So you wash the car or you keep the house in good repair. So don't neglect God's unfailing love for you because it has great value. And thirdly, please, don't take this deal lightly, okay? Treasure it. Be grateful for it. Feel blessed as a result of it. And don't treat it casually. Never take God's love for granted in your life because it's extremely precious. So much so that it's difficult to describe. And here's the third thought about God's steadfast love. It has huge benefits. God's loving kindness has huge benefits for us. For the psalmist, God's steadfast love is a place of refuge. And so he says in verse 7, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings." When it seems like your world is collapsing around you, or when you feel like things are spinning out of control, that the setbacks are never going to end, know that God's love still surrounds you. There's a place of safety in God's arms. His love can give you the peace that you need in the storm. And it has another benefit. It nurtures us, makes us stronger for the trials and tests that come our way. It says in verses 8 and 9, "God, you feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights, for you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see." And so when you experience the love and mercy of God, it is like feasting at a banquet and having your fill, and there's plenty to drink too. We are refreshed when we feed and drink on an overabundance of God's love. And more than that, God's love will show you the way also. He's the fountain of life, and he's also the light by which we see. He opens our eyes and illuminates the way as we navigate the unknown and turbulent seas of life. So those are some of the awesome benefits when we live in the love of God. Because you see, none of us are perfect. And there are times when we wander, when we're not as close to God and his ways and the church as we want to be, as he wants us to be. And I mean, we all make mistakes. If you don't, then you fool yourself. And we all do things that are wrong in God's eyes. But in spite of who we are and what we do, God's love remains steadfast for us. This is what it says about God's love in Micah chapter 7. "You will not stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing unfailing love." So let me give you a final thought on God's unfailing love. It transforms us. God's steadfast love transforms us. His unrelenting love changes us. Because when his love fills your life, it starts to overflow into your relationships with others and with the world. And you find that you too are beginning to love in a way that more closely mirrors God's love. So you start to see more of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So you start to see more of that in your life when you're filled with God's love. Because God's love is changing you. And it's transforming you as to who you are and how you relate to others and to the world. So you see, God's love, not our love, God's love, His steadfast love, is so amazing that it's really difficult to describe. But we know that it's precious. And it has huge benefits for all of us. And if you allow God to love you with His unfailing love, it will transform you. And it'll change you. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we can only be thankful as we sit here this morning. Thank you that your love does not depend on who we are or what we do. We can never deserve the kind of love that you show us every day, the kind of love that you've showed us in Jesus Christ. Thank you that your love is steadfast. Thank you that it changes us and transforms us. Thank you that it's so precious and valuable. God, it's difficult for us to describe how amazing you and your love are. As we express love tomorrow to one another on Valentine's Day, may we be mindful of the love that really matters. And that is your unfailing love. Bless us with your love so that we can in turn bless one another with love that is deeper than what we can show or experience, because it's from you. I praise you today, God, in the name of Jesus, for your unfailing and steadfast love. Amen.